Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Somehow, God is in me, and there's a sense in which I am like God and man all at once.
Many religions claim that we will all eventually be gods. The Bible says something so much better. It says, no, God will continue to be God, man will continue to be man, but God will come upon man.
No way!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't you just hate it when people do this? This is Wretched Radio. So Jimmy leaves the studio to go down the street to find himself a cool beverage.
Yes.
What happened, Jimmy?
My debit card did not work. Mm-hmm. And it can't be because you don't pay me enough money. That's not it. No. For some reason, it wouldn't swipe on the machine. It kept making that noise.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, well, obviously, your debit card's never been declined.
Believe me, it has that little chip business. The problem is you put it in and out of your wallet. The chip wears out before the credit card expires. So if you're a banker, could you please get on this and fix the problem? So the thing doesn't work, so you put the beverage away and came back.
No. I tried 3 or 4 times, and I was about to put it back, and the gentleman in the line next to me reached in his pocket and paid for my order, my purchase.
And who was this gentleman?
He worked for FedEx.
That's nice. Anything else we might know about this fellow?
Yeah, he was black.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that to be...
No.
Okay.
Before you can pontificate on your beverage experience, let me tell you what happened to me at lunch, pal.
Okay.
Don't you love it when people do that? In fact, tell me we don't all have that propensity. Somebody tells you something and the immediate response is your take on it or your own experience with it.
Mm.
Somebody could walk up to me and go, you know, I was just minding my own business, walking down the street when a hubcap flew off and it severed my left leg completely from my body. Yeah, let me tell you about the time I was walking down the street. It just doesn't matter. We just me. So I go to the Zaxby's to pick up some lunch. And I made a big mistake. I ordered the meal and I got the French fries and I only ate about 6 of them, but I'm telling you, it's like a mule kick to the guts just with the deep fried business. Then I'm stuck in the line. So I'm in the queue and you can't get out when you realize you don't have your wallet. So I pull up to the window and there's the same woman that I've seen for years. And I said, I am so sorry. I hope you haven't made it yet because I asked for extra seasoned salt on the fries that are about to make me sick, but I don't have my wallet. And you know what she did? She bought me lunch.
Oh,
she
wow.
said, I'll use my credit card. And I'm like, oh, that is so nice. And she is a Hindu.
Mm.
Now, why would we bring up those two attributes of these people? Well, first of all, because that's what our culture does. To make sure we all stay nice and divided, we make sure that you identify by skin color and not by anything else. Furthermore, this is my contention. And Jimmy, I suspect this is what your pontification was going to be about. What was your takeaway from a black man helping you, a white man, giving you a beverage?
Wow, he really doesn't hate me.
Yeah, right. That's right. Okay, it's tragic that thoughts like that have to come to our mind. I'm telling you, I never used to think like that until recently, where I am I'm getting your message. I'm picking up what you're putting down. I'm white, so people who aren't hate me. That's the message. And I think it's worth noting that Jimmy's experience is not singular. I'm thrilled about this, to be honest, that in Atlanta, I can't recall the percentage of what the population is, but it's far more mixed here than certainly where I come from in the Midwest. And so I'm regularly meeting people with a different skin color, because that's our marker these days. And we get along swell. despite the narrative, I think on the individual level, I don't think things are as evil and awful as they are made out to be in the public media with the news stories, the debates, the sign is that tells me what a problem I am, the canceling of this, the doxing of that, the decolonizing your bookshelf, all of that. It's afoot, but I just don't think the majority of folks, nope, this is not science-based, this is subjective, but it's also based on experience. On the individual basis, we're getting along just fine. Thank you very much. There's acts of kindness going on, and I hate that we have to be reminded of this, but I think it helps us with our hearts. Because how do you respond when you're told perpetually you're bad? You get a little bit agitated. You don't care for the people who keep ringing that bell and making that accusation over and over again. And sin. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to sin. I don't want to be unloving. I'm commanded to love. There is an inner and outer circle, the church first, my family first, my church first, then everybody else on the planet. Believers, we do huddle together and take care of one another's needs, but we're also to love those people who are outside of the church. Why? Because God is love. In this is love. He died for really hateful, horrible people. And I'm called to be loving too. And I'm telling you, I'm committed to not buying the narrative and swallowing what they're trying to force feed me. I ain't buying what you're selling, world system. Be encouraged. It's perhaps not as bad as it's made out to be. Black and white are still getting along. I'm getting along just fine with my Hindu friend at Zaxby's. A little more seasoned salt would be nice. But other than that, I'm still grateful for the food that she bought for me because I go there that much. That's so tragic. And speaking of unbelievers, permit me to share with you, count them, 8 questions you can ask an atheist. How should you ask these questions? Lovingly, not aggressively. So let's see if we can learn some clever questions that help reveal the truth of the gospel, and if we can do it in a way that isn't gotcha, because these questions are gotcha questions. They're kind of front-end loaded, but I don't want to deliver it in such a way that people perceive I'm coming at you. If you can jump over that hurdle, your witness encounters, they're going to go better. Here we go. 8 polemical questions for atheists. Number 1, if evolution is true, why do we have hospitals? Well, what do you mean, why do we have hospitals? So we can take care of sick people. I know, but evolution says sick people should die. That's what evolution is all about. The weaker ones, you know, out of here. And then we stronger ones can survive, making the race stronger, by the way, which we're also told is a good thing without any evolutionary explanation why we would want that. Question number 2, why do you think atheists are responsible for the overwhelming number of deaths in the 20th century? Now, that is not a definitive gotcha sort of question, but it's at least framed in a way that brings about conversation. Hey, my atheist friend, historically, most wars, 20th century, bloodiest century ever, started by atheists. What do you do with that? How do you sleep at night going, yeah, you know, it's okay. Yes, yeah, some atheists do some bad things. Tell me about that. Now, do I have to win that point? No. But I'm just asking questions that hopefully will lead to more than a pebble in the shoe. Number 3, why should an atheist go out of his way to help? Number 4, why do atheists have kids? You can hear the theme here. Evolution would say there's no reason to do this. Kids, they're expensive. They demand a lot. Sure, you might get some pleasure out of it, but at what cost? You shouldn't be having kids if you want to flourish, because that is what the evolutionary worldview teaches. Self. Question, if nothing is objectively true, then why would it be bad for me to hurt you if I think that it is good? Tell me. Another similar sort of question. If I believed that we should kill people with an IQ of less than 100, what moral ground would you have to stop me? Great question. They have none. In fact, the reality is evolution, rightly applied, as it was in the 20th century, to the demise of a lot of people, to the sterilization of a lot of people. Evolution should teach you that we actually should make an effort to get rid of the, what were they called? Oh, yes, feeble-minded. Was Adolf Hitler bad? Why? Number 8, why should we war against pandemics? Wouldn't it be better that the weak perished instead of lived? Why do we do these kind things? Spend money, suffer personal loss in order for people, somebody that we don't even know perhaps, to have a gain. And the answer, of course, to any of these questions is they don't have an answer to these questions. Is it going to get anybody saved? No. Are they designed to just win an argument or speed bag somebody into a corner? No. But it is to hopefully help them understand that their atheistic worldview is busted. This is Wretched Radio.
You notice how the world feels a lot different lately? At Fortis Institute, we see it too, and we're responding with even more resources to help you stand strong. Every single day, you get fresh video content that addresses today's critical issues. You get podcasts on marriage, parenting, and theology, biblical insight from trusted voices like Pastor Brad Bigney and Dr. John Kratz, plus Gary Barbell's weekly cartoons that are funnier than any dad joke you can ever hear from me. Todd made me say that. Best of all, everything is absolutely free through our Fortis Plus app. From Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford to Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, we are equipping believers like you to thrive in this brave new world. So join thousands of Christians who are already growing stronger in their faith every single day. Just visit FortisInstitute.org or download Fortis Plus right now. Always free and always faithful to God's Word. Fortis Institute at FortisInstitute.org.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Breaking news. In a world where biblical truth is increasingly rare, Fortis Institute is actually expanding. We're expanding our reach every single month. And get this, churches are actually getting stronger through solid biblical teaching. And here's the story. Your gift gets doubled right now through a matching grant. That means twice the impact, twice the reach, twice the transformation. Think more resources, more teaching, more churches equipped with truth that matters. We're not just maintaining around here. We're growing. More radio stations, more content, more believers getting equipped, more churches being strengthened. And unlike those clickbait headlines the world tries to feed us, this is actual verifiable impact. The fine print? Just one thing. The matching grant opportunity ends December the 31st. That's it. No complicated conditions, just a straightforward chance to double your impact. Visit FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org. Because while everybody else is backing down, we're stepping up. FortisInstitute.org.
Books of the Bible. Jude was the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote an epistle to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. He contends for the faith with a passionate and vehement attack against false teachers. When you want to know God's concern for the truth, Jude has 25 intense verses just for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, Jerusalem! This is Wretched Radio. Jerusalem right now. A little more at risk than it was, what, about a week ago when Netanyahu was voted out by one whopping vote. We'll see how things go in the nation's capital of Israel. That's right, I went ahead and said it. The nation's capital of Israel being Jerusalem. Another reason to keep an eye on Jerusalem is, it might be time for the second coming. How do I know? Headline. Rare ring of fire solar eclipse to appear on... Well, this is a little bit dated now. It was in June, the middle of June, just weeks after super blood moon lunar eclipse. Oh, you know what a super blood moon lunar eclipse means, don't you, Jerusalem? I mean, somebody's going to do a sermon series, write a book, and profit from it. That's what that means. Do you remember that trend? The blood moon trend? I think that Jesus was going to return was the idea. Seems to me that when you make predictions and they're wrong, you're out of business. At least that used to be the standard. And many false prophecies have been made that are clearly not coming to fulfillment, not the least of which was, oh, the blood moon. Oh, Jimmy, do you remember was it the second coming, I think?
Yes, it signifies the second coming, or is supposed to.
I'm sorry, I was just drinking a beverage. You know what I was drinking?
What's that?
My free Zaxby's soda. I don't want to one-up you, pal, but you just got a beverage. I got a chicken sandwich.
You know, I do have a question about that.
Oh, no. What?
Didn't you know you didn't have your wallet before you left?
Oh, no,
that's all I heard about all morning.
I did. My wallet, it's taken wings yet again. See, normally, I put my keys with it. That way, I can't escape without bringing it with. No, I get into the car like a dodo. One mission. To Zaxby's I go. It was getting stuck in the queue. And then I was locked in. If I had known it beforehand, I wouldn't have done it. But my friend bought me lunch. Speaking of questions and blood moons, for your consideration, some questions for you to ask your Bible. Questions that will keep you from falling into blood moon schemes and lunar eclipse, it's the end of the age predictions. And it will keep you from following false teachers. It'll allow you to recognize true theology. If you ask your Bible questions, interrogate it constantly. We live in an era where everything gets deconstructed, especially literature. This awful French philosophy of reading between the lines literally. What is the meaning of the story? Well, what wasn't said? What? Yeah, what wasn't said? That's the meaning of the story. Actually, shouldn't it be what was said? That's the meaning of the story. No, not with deconstruction. See, it's more clever than that. You got to get in there and figure out what the author didn't say, because that's what he was really wanting to say. Okay. Look, do I have to do crack to participate in this literature game? Because I don't know that I can do what you're talking about without shrooms. I think that's a hallucinogenic, isn't it?
Yes.
How do you know? 14 questions to ask your Bible. Good reminders. This is biblical hermeneutics. Normally, I would sneak in a plug for Herman Who with study guide available at wretched.org, but I'm not going to do that. I'll just get right to it. Who's the author of the passage? You want to know that. If you received a letter without a return address or name, and it said, "Dear fill in the blank, this is very important. I'm writing to tell you how much I love you and everything that I'd like to do for you. Sincerely, nothing." You'd be like, whoa, 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 whoa. This makes a difference here. Who is this person? What are they told? They love me. They want to give me what? You'd have all kinds of questions that would be answered if it turns out it was your mother. Oh, of course. Oh, yeah, right. Okay. Or a sibling. Or the neighbor you don't get along with. Wait, whoa, 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 what? It changes much. Same thing is true with the Bible. Number two, who are the recipients? Who is getting it? Mature Christians, immature Christians, believers in captivity, out of captivity, thriving, flourishing, struggling. You need to know those things if you don't want to buy into the blood moon scheme. That's what I'm trying to say. Number three, what is the historical background of the passage? Okay, I'm serious about the memory business, forgetting my wallet again. I go through the bookshelves at home because I've got a fair amount of books I have not completed yet. I pick out this book and it said, it was a little fat book too. Can I use the word book or was that offensive? I'm sorry. And it was the World Jesus Knew. I think that was the name of it. And I went, oh, this is interesting. And the subtitle basically was, and what was it? What was first century life like in Israel when our Savior walked the planet? Oh, that would be cool. I opened it up. I'd already read the whole thing. Whole thing was highlighted, marked up. It's mine, I can tell. I've already read it. I remember none of it. Man, Zaxby's seems to be the least of my problems, doesn't it? What's the historical background? Read books like that. Read Christian biblical encyclopedias. Read books that talk about what was going on at the time the book was being written. It'll help you. Number four, what is the outline or structure of the passage? You want to get a lot out of a passage. If you're struggling in your private quiet time, here's an assignment for you. I'm going to challenge you, especially if, and this is a good thing, you are dedicated to reading X amount of scripture per day. Could I just encourage you, maybe take a day off of that program. You're not going to abandon the Bible. Take one Bible verse and diagram it. It will explode for you. Now, you might have to go watch a tutorial on diagramming sentences because it's been a bit of a stint since you've had to do that chore that you thought was worthless when you were in high school. You outline the passage. Whoa, that's the main verb. That's the supporting verb. Go to Matthew 28:19. While going, make disciples. Wait a second. What's the prominent verb here? It's an imperative. So I need to understand the way that the words are used. What are the prepositional phrases here? What are the indications of that? What are the adjectives? And you will learn a lot about a Bible verse and how to apply what you learned in high school. Number four, what is five? Are any words repeated? Any significance to the repetition? I don't think that I've got it in this particular Bible. But a good example of read Ephesians 1 and 2. Go look for repeated words. See what Paul is trying to emphasize. Take a look at Colossians, and you can this. You better have a pen that's got some ink in it. Circle the word all in Colossians, and you're going to discover, whoa, Paul is really trying to make a point here about all the fullness of God in Jesus Christ. And over again with the word all, pointing to Jesus to make him supreme. To demonstrate there's other stuff and there's Jesus. Circle repeated words. You'll be glad. Here's another one. Start in 1 John 3 and go all the way through chapter 4. Circle the word love and see how much loving John talks about. A lot. Are there unusual words in the passage that call for more exploration? You see kind of that's an interesting word. Go look it up. 7, how does the passage fit into the surrounding paragraph, into the surrounding chapter, into the surrounding book? Why did the author place the passage here and not someplace else? In one sentence, what's the main point of the passage? That's what does it say? What's the point? Tell me what the point is. And that's going to be different than your translation or your interpretation, by the way. How would the original audience have been affected by the passage? That's how you should be affected too. No more, no less. How does the passage connect to the overall storyline of the Bible? How does this passage reveal Jesus as Savior? Does every single verse somehow point to Jesus? Not that specifically, but certainly the entire book does, because all books lead to Jesus. See if your verse isn't trying to do that. 13, how does God want this passage to function in my life? Doesn't matter what I think about the verse. What does God think about it, and what does he want me to do with it? Which is question 14, what kind of response does this passage call for? You start asking any of those questions, your Bible reading, it's going to explode. And I don't mean that in one of those nasty bus bombings in Israel. It will come to life for you. Now, the more you do this, you're thinking, 14 questions every time I read a Bible verse? Start that way. And suddenly these things will just become a part of the fabric of your noggin. And as you read the Bible, you will intuitively be applying these questions. This is Wretched Radio.